What's happening? You are tuned into the number one cannabis news source on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. My name's Tom. I'm a cannabis lawyer out of that state. We have a big week of news. We have Germany, the Justice Department, Washington, D.C., some hemp news, some Florida news. This came out on Good Friday in Maryland. Maryland news, Massachusetts news, New Mexico, Hawaii. Got something from Illinois. Illinois had a thing on Friday. We'll talk about that. North Carolina. Michigan from John Sinclair, and something about Trump. So why don't we get into the trending news of the week with our co-host, Miggy?
Hey, happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. We've made it. Now, if our viewership is down, it's because everybody's watching the women's championship game right now.
Oh, so, that's right.
But it's at half, so I'm assuming our numbers are going to go just shooting to the moon. Germany, that was how the week started. April Fools, it's legal in Germany. I don't think they celebrate April Fool's Day back over there, though. Maybe they
do. Yeah, that's a huge one. Did you see all the smokeout sessions? You know, that's one thing I didn't get it together, but there was a lot of sessions going across Germany. You know, and I wish I had video. I forgot we were going to talk about Germany because it's a pretty big deal.
Again, Schedule 3 weed is legalized medical marijuana nationwide. And so we're getting closer to that. Or you can just go outside and say hemp and light up. And
but this is fundamental. They're breaking the rules. They're breaking the treaties.
They're breaking Germans. That's right. Now that's they changed their laws though, right? And so we haven't done either. And so we have the treaty, and then we have our law, and our law goes like, let's put the treaty right into there. Put the treaty in there. So our laws, which will follow, because the international laws we are going to follow. So they just put it into our Controlled Substances Act in Section 811. And that's why true legalization, not medical legalization, we can be compliant with our international obligations and therefore also our own laws in Schedule 3. If you want it descheduled like hemp, or that's going to require an act of Congress.
Well, and again, you know, we try to do things the right way, right? Be the precedent, be the
nation of laws, not men.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. But also, it's been easier to incarcerate someone than it has been to release them, right? So descheduling
in Europe, because in Europe, you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent. The shoe is on the other foot in our countries, Germany and most of the other European Union, with the exception of like England. They are civil law states, not common law states. We're common law, and so our laws are comprised mostly of holdings, but then also statutes, lots of statutes. Now, for example, the Controlled Substances Act, but we have that presumption of innocence that they do not have.
Well, now that they have legalization, right? Now they're all presumed innocent because of it, right? Now it's already an infrastructure of the law. It's not a crime. Not a crime.
That'll be great. Germany. Think about that. You know, one day, hopefully... I checked the registrar, and so there is a website where you can check and see like if something's about to be published, you know, what rules are going to be published this week. And so I checked the DEA's one. I got a new video coming out about how you and you at home can learn more about cannabis legalization than 99% of all the people, and then share that knowledge with people to help cannabis legalization go a little quicker. But that was one of the things that I reported on in there.
Okay.
Was how you can go ahead and go to, it's like federalregister.gov, because the name of the publication where they put all these rules is the Federal Register.
I mean, really, we could have called this channel just Weed Nerds, because that's how you and I know each other, because we've been trying to change policy. How long have I known you? 12 years now?
10, which isn't even an O. 10.
MySpace.
No, MySpace. From MySpace. Bet you didn't know that. If you didn't know that, don't forget to like and subscribe, because now I shill for a completely different company. YouTube.
Well, it's your company, right? We've been doing this for 8 years almost. Yeah. No, I mean,
subscribe, and then because you're tuning in, and thank you. You guys are awesome. And I think that you in Iowa have lost weight. Now we are serving content to YouTube to eat up, and then they make money off of it. They don't pay us anything. If we were talking about financial news, we would be, our monetization rate for the amount of views we have would be about 10x. And so we'd be making about $3,000 to $4,000 a month instead of like $300.
Well, any irony is we're not money talks, but we talk about money because this is business. But you know, to get to where we have been, where it has been business, there have been a lot of people who we should say like are heroes, right? People who, you know, sacrificed and done a lot of things. And recently we lost one. The reason why Hash Bash is a thing, John Sinclair.
Yep.
You know, that. Yeah. Yeah. So we got the.
Let's do that. There he is. Johnson Sinclair, arrested for two joints, and one of the founders of the Hash Bash, which just popped off this past week, I believe. And so he, wasn't it this past week, the Hash Bash in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Our friends at Freedom Grow actually spoke it there. So, and you know, when John Sinclair got arrested, the reason, besides the two joint thing, but it was John Lennon and a bunch of like people who were pop stars at the time, right? Like, I don't even know who's relevant these days. BKS. I don't know. I kind of give up on like paying attention, but you know, isn't that like the Korean people? But like,
I'm not sure what that boy band is named.
You know what I'm talking about.
BKS though. Yeah.
Or Taylor Swift. Let's just say Taylor Swift held a concert for you. Right. Like that's the equivalent of what happened for him, where people stood up because this guy was unjustly serving time.
Two joints.
Yeah. And he's the reason for the season in Hash Bash, baby. Like that's, you know, RIP to John Sinclair. His wife, so I have a little, article, spoke at the event. It was on the 53rd annual Hash Bash. I was actually a participant during COVID, dude, on the Hash Bash. I had a, you know, because we're all in our caves. And they let me speak. They were like, hey, you know, they sent me an email and I spoke to them for a minute. But, you know, Hash Bash is what it's in. It's a 53rd annual Hash Bash. Yep. That's a lot of weed years, man.
Still not federally legal. John Sinclair lived to be 82. So when he started the Hash Bash, he was in his 20s.
And you imagine being so right for so long and the world's just catching up with you.
And no one cares. That's the hardest part. Like, you know, you're right for decades. And, okay, maybe not no one. Like, Michigan has one of the best cannabis cultures outside of California in our country. Mm-hmm. And they the people love their weed. And they've got great stuff in Michigan. And so, great prices, too. But, man, just to be so right for so long, still can't recognize you at the federal level.
Fortunately enough, though, he did have a store before he passed. Like he had a moment to run an operation, a business within the guidelines of the things that
social equity.
That he fought for so hard. Like that's crazy, but thank you to him and his wife and everybody else that, you know, done it.
Yeah. Everybody else got arrested and country did you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We got some federal news though. That federal news. This is going to be kind of what happens after it goes. The not the Germany market one, the Justice Department. They expect an influx of marijuana pardon certificate applications, setting targets to quickly process these requests. That'll be fantastic because coming soon to a country that you are probably in, quasi-legal weed, the most legal weed, and we're talking about weed, not like just THCA flower that you're calling hemp. Once that happens, hopefully we get the regulation published soon. But it may not get published until May. It may not get published until August. And then there will be a large public comment period. And then it eventually will become effective. Hopefully it becomes effective this calendar year. But it might be next calendar year, you know, which it sucks. But cannabis clemency cases, ordinary case admissions, and the president's cannabis pardon proclamations. And now you're going to have the medical law go into effect. And so that could just create a much larger wave of pardon certificates.
Well, I mean, we talked. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's just reading the article.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, we talked about before, though, how when a lot of these people who get caught up with like larger amounts and it becomes those RICO cases where it's entwined with like, you know, guns and, you know, things that run an illegal operation, you know, for protection, it gets shaded, right? How do you release somebody? You know, as long as there wasn't a murder, right? If it was just a transactionary thing, you would hope that all these people get, because there's still, you know, Freedom Grow, being that they just spoke at Hash Bash, there are still people incarcerated, like Craig Cecil, Luke Scarmazzo, even Lance Glore. First, there's people who try and operate under the rules that are allowed. And then there were those who just went about their business and did a thing. And both of them should be like, you know, reprieve, right? Reparations.
Well, let's see what the acronym of this department is. And so we can put that in there. It is the pardon attorney, the 25, so financial year 25. The Office of Pardon Attorney, P-A-R-D-O-N, that's what the news story is from. And they are requesting almost $12.6 million, 40 full-time employees, including 26 lawyers, to advise and assist the president in exercising its executive clemency power conferred to him by Article 2 of the Constitution. This is something that the tax dollars for cannabis could go to pay. For the Office of the Pardon Attorneys, $12.6 million, but considering how they throw money around at the federal government, that is nothing.
No.
$12.6 million is a congressional $100 or like a congressional dollar, we should call, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you definitely need a team, right? Like it's going to cost any of this process, any part of making it right. You know, you need people to help decipher, you know, like who was the real bad guy. Not just trying to have a nice little grow, but also, I don't know, selling heroin in arms. You know, there's got to be a line somewhere, you know, and we keep moving it, which is fine. I mean, because, you know, fundamentally, like the whole drug scheduling thing is just wrong, and we need to not have that ignorance out there. But, you know, we're still getting closer. We're closer than we were. Closer than we were 20 years ago.
Or at least we are older. And so it is one of those two things. We're closer or older, but it's one of those where we're looking at it and we're not look. I don't consider hemp being legalization. I don't.
No.
It's still completely criminalized. You're just saying that the stuff that is completely criminalized is hemp. And therefore, you have to let me go. I just don't get that. And so, like, but then this is a good story out of the Justice Department. Putting people in place in the federal government whose job is to help pardon individuals. So this is they only mentioned marijuana 10 times in this 12-page report. And they say they're responding to certificate applications from presidents October 22nd and December 23, proclamations regarding pardoning federal offenses of marijuana possession. They're trying to have that be done within 30 days of receiving their correspondence. And so you would ask for a percentage of marijuana certificates issued to eligible recipients within 30 days of application receipt. So at the federal level, get your cannabis pardon within 30 days of its receipt. That's a good goal. That's a good goal.
We'll be right back.
Roe is dead.
Supreme Court has delivered another blow to the Voting Rights Act.
Despite growing dangers from climate change, tonight the U.S. Supreme Court curbing the government's power to fight it.
The makeup of the Supreme Court, the decisions they have already handed down, and the cases they are hearing this year are not coincidental. So what is next? What can we expect from this chaos court and the networks at work to serve them up cases that will expedite their agenda? We'll seek to answer those questions, examining issues at the heart of the cases the court is currently deciding. Follow Grave Injustice wherever you get your podcasts. We're releasing episodes every Thursday throughout the season.
And the right thing to do when it comes to like the rescheduling, you know, obviously descheduling would be the ideal, like the perfect world where nobody ever
does its job. So when Congress does its job, in the ideal world, Congress works.
Ideally. But, you know, in D.C., their cancel is at least working. Washington, D.C.
Hey, let's look at this one thing, though.
Well, go.
There's some numbers. And so it took me some time to find the numbers because I was reading through the article. And so this is it. Because they mentioned the president's October of 22 and December of 23's proclamations regarding pardoning individuals convicted of simple marijuana possession. As of February 2024, how many? How many do you think it was? 171.
Oh, geez.
So he sends out those things. How many people will be affected? 171 have been issued so far. Each certificate is granted to the receipt only after pardon conducts an investigation. But that is what they are working to make be 30 days. And so he sent out two things, and 171 people is all that really got pardoned from this. But then he called on the governors to do the same.
But isn't that what they always do, though? They kind of pass the buck, right? Like, that's a small number of people who still are.
Yeah, but then the vast majority of all simple marijuana possession arrests are not done by the federal government. It's got to be like less than 5%.
Yeah, now we're talking about the state rights things, right? Like the, and this is where descheduling would help out, because descheduling it or rescheduling it, rather, you know, making it a medicinal qualifier, right? Who's in jail for aspirin right now?
I don't know, unless you like were caught stealing a lot of aspirin, but then you're not in jail for aspirin. You're in jail for stealing.
Right.
So like, nobody should be in jail for weed. Yes. And now if you fail to pay like $3 million of taxes due from selling that weed, you, and you go to jail, you're not in jail for weed. You're in jail for not paying your taxes. Yeah.
It's a different crime. And that's the thing, right? We're, you know, that's the thing we've been advocating for. Like, there's no reason for any nefarious thinking for being associated with this plant, right? Like, I don't know about you. When was your smoke of the day? My first smoke of the day was at 7:30 this morning, and I ended up doing laundry, doing dishes, cleaning the house, and I did some writing, but like I didn't not sit on the couch and not do shit. What about you?
I sat on the couch and did not do shit because my 3-year-old woke me up at around 6 a.m. And then, so I was like watching a 3-year-old while trying to also get maybe like another hour of sleep. And it was just rainy and gloomy outside in central Illinois. But I took care of the child. She's good. She'll be four.
She's alive.
She's better than alive. She's doing just fine.
Yeah. Hey, it's almost that time. Yeah, as we try and stall for that 1 minute.
We do. Hey, well, when we get back, we can talk about Chair Mendelsohn. And Chair Mendelsohn is the council chair for, I believe, the city council of the District of Columbia, which when you think of a city, you often don't call it a district, but you do if you're in our nation's capital. Fun fact.
And the representation.
Yep. They are seeking approval for something that we will discuss after we take a short break, because in our nation's capital, it is 420.
Did you hear about collateral base?
Oh, yes. We're gonna talk about how we can work together. And this is about our nation's capital, kind of. You know, our nation's veterans. And so our nation's veterans have an opportunity this spring, like this month, actually. It only has got about another 3 weeks left. If you are a service-related disabled veteran, you are eligible for a cannabis license in the state of Missouri, and you don't even have to live there. Now, you are going to be the man or woman, and you'd have 51% ownership all the way through it's becoming a functional dispensary or grow. And then you can satisfy your exit strategy. And the exit strategies are very important in business. They really are. And so you have to kind of know, well, how am I going to transition out of that? I think about that in my law firm more often, but considering I'm in my 40s. But let me give you this link. And if you are a service-related disabled veteran, please do fill this out. We have a package. It is a contingency fee representation to help you get fair value for what you bring to the table.
And I want to add, too, because, you know, I've turned my brother onto this. I've turned friends on. And I plan to do a video on this because there is a deadline, right? Like, you have to, like, get in touch with Tom and touch base, fill out the link before April 22nd, right?
It closes on April 29th. And so, like, we'll probably stop taking clients for representing them and getting into Missouri. Now, Missouri will be open again in 10 months. That's the nice part. And so if you miss the deadline, we'll talk to you about next year.
Sure.
But we still prefer if you are and you're qualified and you want to roll the dice and see if you can, you know, hit it.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things people ask me when I tell them, you know, first off, you know, you're my friend, right? Business partner, someone I've known a reputation a long time. So there's that right there. But also, why shouldn't I do it for myself? And the thing is
Mickey.
No, but I mean, like my fellow veterans who are like, you know, like, well, hey, first off, you also need to be disabled. So it's not just.
But then, how many veterans have some partial disability? Well, on VA benefits, like, you know,
a good portion, a good portion. I don't, I should, I could, but I haven't chased that animal. But the thing is, you know, why go through you is because, first off, the what is that, a $2,500 fee?
That's good. No, it's $1,500 refundable.
$1,500.
No, so, LLC, but that's
right. And then just say you win. Then the next part is like the process we're going through. It's been almost a year, you know, and you know, you still have to build the reputation and the network for hopefully get the funds to establish the property, the retail infrastructure.
How come? Like, yeah, that's why we do it as a contingency. Like, we are out there lobbying for you, the winner, to figure out that puzzle piece. That is the most difficult puzzle piece of the people that shoot from the hip and win and don't have like that type of representation where it's like, okay, look, you won. What is this valued at? That is your capital contribution. Let's get going in the business. These people, they, you know, they want to get in business with a guy like you. And so disabled veterans as well. We think that they want to be in business with a disabled veteran, because that's the thing about social equity in Missouri. Every person that has that license has to have that eligibility for ownership. And yeah. So every micro business license in Missouri must be majority owned by people like disabled veterans or people that have been arrested for cannabis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really a first step towards having some equity. If you win, though, that's the question, right? It's all a lottery and none of this is guaranteed, unfortunately, right? This is not.
It was like about a 1% chance, 1.5% chance for a dispensary, and about a 7% chance for a grower, which is, I just lost the Powerball. I got one freaking number right. One. That's it. You know who wins? Some guy in Oregon wins $1.32 billion, and I got to go to work on Monday. But I got one. So I played, you know.
But overall, though, like just to try this cannabis game, like you see a lot of references. I see a lot in the socials as far as the industry and all this other weird. I you know, being that not one who now you are in our partners, right? We're going through the process, which, and we've had guests on this show that had successful equity builds and store layouts and done things, right? And then that's what this whole regulational, you know, legalization thing is kind of about. It's like, if I wanted to open up a liquor store, I could open it up in Colorado. I could open it up in Kentucky.
Correct. Anywhere. But you have to follow separate rules. Mm-hmm. And so like if you want to operate a liquor store and you go from state to state, you'll notice that liquor sold in slightly different variations.
100%.
And you still require that license and you still require compliance. The cannabis is just a more heightened layer of that, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I want with Schedule 3. I want a rule just like we got with the rule. Cause like what other commodity, like when you're growing, you know, soybeans or you're growing corn, do you need to get a license from the USDA? Do you got to test your product 30 days before harvest to test how?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. No, but you for this particular agricultural commodity. And that's what I'm looking for in Schedule 3 is federal guidance that allows everyone watching who's on a license, not a hemp one, like no shade on you, but just saying like a license from a state to engage in the cannabis business, those licenses to be just as legal as the hemp businesses are right now.
Well, it would be a path, right? Like the liquor path, how we're talking about how each state is different. This would give you a path in each state, but it's going to have its different quirky rules. It's different boundaries that you have to work around, which nerds like you come and play. This guy.
Yep.
Not me. Don't come to me for legal advice. See that down there?
I realize we're talking about nerds here, but let's talk about the least nerdy state, Florida. Florida, on April 1st, no fooling, put out a legal opinion, and we got a copy of it over here. Mm-hmm. I want to say, yeah, we got it. There's they linked out to it. And there it is. Entered on 4-1. We therefore approve the proposed amendment for placement on the ballot. No rehearing permitted. It is so ordered. That is from the Supreme Court of Florida. Let's see, view. And here is the opinion. You got it, guys. You get to vote on legalizing it this election day. I want to say it's November 5th. November, you need to pass it by 60% of the vote. Will 60% of Florida vote to legalize? I think they will.
Was it Florida who missed it by a percentage last time? Or that was Arizona, huh? The first time they came out.
I can't remember.
Somebody missed it by a low.
Florida may have missed it. It may have been a Florida that missed because of the 60%. They might have gotten like 57 or 56.
Yeah. Outrageous shit.
Yeah, well, it's been a few more years.
What?
It's been a few more years now, so maybe they'll be able to beat it.
But why? Why is it like that majority makes the rules? I thought the majority, instead of like the small little big dollar people who run like the DeSantis's, and which is going to be quite interesting because Florida has never been so important, right? The Florida man has never been so important in November because you got women's health care, women's rights. You have legalization, recreational, and even though people are against it because what Trulie's behind it or backing it or whatever.
Again, they can make billions of dollars if it passes.
Sure.
They're driving a dump truck of money up to your door. You're not made of stone. Come on.
Yeah. But this could also, once that legal recreational happens, maybe the citizenry can create a path, right? Because we are here because people as citizens did a thing, not because the corporations, but like Prop 215. That was, so important. And I consider that the gateway to legalization because people see, oh, all these stoners are not dying, or whatever the hell was supposed to happen.
Well, I hope we have Schedule 3 nationwide before Prop 215 is 30 in 2 years.
Oh, fuck it.
We will find out. But together, everybody, that's where the news lives, right here on YouTube and Cannabis Legalization News, wherever you get your podcasts. This one has, I think it's got a real shot in Florida. It came out, ironically, on April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Enough fooling. It will be on the ballot, and 60% of the people can vote to legalize it. It's opaque on information thereafter. The MMTCs have a super round right now in Florida that everyone is waiting on. Some rumors thought it would be the late April that they would release the next 22 licenses of MMTCs, medical marijuana treatment centers. They are vertical, huge. Trulieve, for example, why does it make so much money? Because it has allowed to open as many retail stores as it has product to support. So every time that you go into a store for weed in Florida, very often I don't have a card there, just from what I've read and surmised. It's a branded store. And so like if you go into the Trulieve, you buy Trulieve product. You go into the Sunburn Cannabis, you buy Sunburn product. You go into the Alien Labs. I'm not sure if Alien Labs is there. Jungle Boys, let's say.
Yeah. Is that really a bad thing though? Like the whole vertical thing? I mean, I know, but either or, it should be an option, right?
Is it a bad thing? Like if you go into a store, you just have one. I mean, it's kind of like Trader Joe's. Go into Trader Joe's and you got Trader Joe's shit.
Right. But like, they have like Trader Joe's didn't grow it though, or farm it. They just contracted. Whereas with cannabis, you're dealing with the farm itself, right? I think that's more of a tight relationship.
I think the dispensary is more like the Trader Joe's, which is dealing with the producer processors and putting some white labeling, a little trademark magic.
I see.
I'll say, like, I'll market this thing. We're going to be Trader Jose in Spain or whatever. And then
that'd be great.
But well, okay, we could try to do Tom and Miggy's or like Miggy's Pot Shop. And then so we would just go out to all of the operators and be like, look, we want friend prices. We want to buy a lot, but we want it white labeled. And then we're going to slap your face on it. And I want you to say, is it good? Or say,
it's like, Mario.
Right.
No, I feel it. No, and that's the business side of things, right? It's the whole branding. And one of the things that gives me like the yucks of like legalization, whereas it used to be like a secret handshake where, we're talking in the green room with Will about how like acquiring the, to have a guy, and safe access is not just means the plant is going to be tested, but it's also safe area, safe, hopefully a place of business, right?
Right.
Say purchase. And so, I'm fortunate enough. Shit, man, I just bought a half ounce. I go to the store and buy.
You guys don't have deli style anymore, though, right?
No, I missed that. But that was also kind of like germs. I mean, I am a germaphobe, so I should have, like,
That's it. And so depending on what, and so I'm going to actually try to walk back Illinois' regulations. I'm not going to try to get Delhi style in Illinois. I am going to try to get more Washington style, California style, and Michigan style of product testing requirements, so that we can, because like Illinois' product testing requirements are ridiculous. And so very often most of the product is remediated or dried to an obscene level of humidity. So it's like very powdery and bad, just to try to make sure that you're compliant with the, where they've set the levels. And so I have to figure out where they've set the levels and then where Michigan set the levels and say, we should set the levels like Michigan so we can have tasty product on the shelves.
Well, you know, California has a standardization now too. And that's, always something I've been preaching, you know, is like there's that level of everybody has standardization of how we're testing and processing.
That's the federal guidance. That's really what I'm hoping with Schedule 3 is you must test for A, B, C, D. It must have this percent humidity. And then states can go above that like they do hemp. But then there's like, here's the floor model. This is how you do it. And then that guy who's farming hemp right now and he's selling weed, it's just THCA flower, and he's growing it in North Carolina, he can get a fucking federal license. But then how does he get the state license? Then you lobby your state and say, look, it's federally legal now. You let me do it for this. Let me do it for that.
We have a hemp license in Washington State. I mean, one exists. So your state needs to, but again, the law needs to catch up. But you know what we could do?
It'll happen. Okay. So like in Washington State, and so not, isn't that how it is in every state, but like in Washington State and in Ohio and in Illinois, that license becomes, no, you're not supposed to be using it for wheat. And so it becomes very much like you're only supposed to be growing it for CBD or CBG, like non-psychoactive cannabinoids, or for its other industrial purposes.
Which is the bad overall structure of the law, right? I mean, I know it enables...
But think about it. Like, again, we don't have to think about it in terms of A and B, right? Now they're both encompassed. And so, like, if that license is there for the operator at a federal level, why wouldn't you have them regulated that way? It's like, well, this one's being earmarked for usage for these particular products for human consumption. You have to do this, 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 and this, and then get this license.
That really should be the delineator for the law itself, right? Is this going to be a consumable product, whether it be a CBD ointment or a Friday night, you know, good time? It's still going to be consumable, right? That should be the, and then the rest of it is going to be a t-shirt or hempcrete, right? And even though the former could be used as hempcrete as well, you know, the main thing about regulation should affect all that, right? Because that's what is kind of the misunderstanding of this plant is like, you know, when the regulation, you know, like 0.3% all of a sudden of THC makes it like an anomaly. It's still the same fucking plant. It's you, America. It's you, legislator, who some person, Anslinger, that made this chain of events happen for a plant.
Well, they did. Then they do the same thing for alcohol. Hey, but since we're talking about these plants, why don't we look at one of the particular cultivars and its flowers and then kind of figure out what one's that? What one's that? Let's see if you guys can get a name that strain. There it is.
This was my go-to in a pot farm for remember Pot Farm?
No. I have not played Pot Farm.
MySpace, man. You remember you played games on the thing? But look at that nicely nugged, hand trimmed. You think?
Oh yeah, lots of red hairs on that one. It's an older one. It's crossed with a Hawaiian and a purple skunk.
Very dense looking, very smokable. Actually, looks like.
Undertones of berry, lavender, and pine. Large, dense buds, short and tinged with purple. Not so much expressed on that one.
Yep, it's not Cinderella. It's not tangy.
All right, right.
It's got a higher meaning, man. It's a higher level.
It is a Sunday, this person's day, and that's this person's herbage. So that is a pretty good hint right there.
Right on, dude.
Originated in Canada.
Did it.
Sometimes called BC, and then the name of this strain.
It's an OG strain, man. Like, I mean, it's definitely
it is an OG strain. This strain will take you right back to the
90s. Hey, Ryan's got it.
Ryan's Jamerson. God Bud. Actually, it was pretty close. God's Gift. God Bud.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He's got it. He's got it. We're gonna go with God's Gift, God Bud. And now, there probably is a difference between God's Gift and God's
probably.
Bud, but whatever. And so it is an indica marijuana strain crossed with Hawaiian and purple skunk. Instantaneous, fast, sedate, and high. Tropical fruit flavors, undertones of berry, lavender, and pine. Boy, I would like some of that, especially if I was suffering from insomnia. I'm not. I have a 3.5-year-old, so I will be able to sleep, no problem. And God Bud originated in Canada.
That's good, man. I used to like look forward to that stuff. I used to. Not now that I'm old and can't do it. But yeah, what are you running off of? Like 2 hours?
Your grandkids around. Hey, speaking of something, let's go back to the nation's capital. We didn't finish that story out there, by the way. Did you know that there will be a medical cannabis patients card extension and 420 medical cannabis sales tax holiday week for 2024 in the nation's capital, but they still cannot go adult use? Go medical,
there's a lot of protests that week too in the nation's capital. If you look up Last Prison Project, and I think Freedom Grow is going to be there. So
good.
People are still fighting a good fight. You know, try and support them. But yeah, they got the Washington D.C. Council approves 420 medical marijuana. You already read that shit. I'm fucking
yeah. I got it right there. And then here it is, dear nice. Chairman Mendelson. Today I'm transmitting the council. An extension for the medical cards and a sales tax holiday week emergency amendment. Bill has threefold purpose: to amend the code to make district resident qualifying patient caregiver registration identity cards valid for 6 years.
Wow.
Nice. Give emergency closure authority to the Alcoholic Beverage and Cannabis Administration. You see, they're regulating it. They're regulating it like booze in the nation's capital. And yet, strangely, everybody else is just mysteriously like, how do we regulate this?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, there's already processes out there that we can follow. Here in Washington State, same thing. We got the Cannabis Board. They're part of it.
Liquor and cannabis board now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've seen how to regulate this. And third, it extends the existing medical cannabis tax holiday for an additional 4 whole days for 2024 only.
We need more studies. That's it, man.
Yeah, that's right. Need more studies. Legislation. That's how it looks.
It's so long. I mean, again, a year. We're coming up on the year when we applied almost.
It's been more than a year since we applied. I want to say that it's been a year since the window closed. And then they had the lottery. And so I guess let's talk about Illinois news. Illinois got nuts on Friday, a little spicy. The first round of the dispensaries where Miggy and I were in that pool, they got some emails from the regulators on Friday that says, get your ducks in a row. And the first wave, this is similar to how they did it back a few years ago. They'd have the issuance of the licenses in waves. It's like, we're going to do the 35 in Chicago first, and then we got 25 downstate we'll do later. And so that's what I think they're doing. The Chicago clients got the notification, and then I'm like, where's ours?
Well, and you hear it here first, right? Like, no one else, except for Cole. The Cole memo covers Illinois stuff, but like, this is the fucking process. That's so unsexy, right? Because we won.
Then we could also talk about Maryland. But then talk about how unsexy the process is, and then we have to talk about the craft grow lawsuit.
Well, the only reason why we know this is because you have a client that got part of the paperwork. Like, you work in the industry. You're part of the whole web of, like, understanding things. Whereas I'm over here in Washington State, I only have to understand what I can Google. Like, that's my only level of having to care. But in Illinois, the fact that we won, now we're at the point where there's another – that letter came out, and then all it is going to be is just another form to fill out. It's not like, here's the physical license and now you can start negotiating and understanding like what how the dollar is going to be, and then the cash flows and different understandings of like
real estate, like, you know, because like we started looking at all that stuff 9 months ago, and then we stopped because we're like, all right, bro, let's just wait on this. However, like a lot of the poor souls that applied in New York, in Florida, in Texas, they got carry costs. And so do the social equity applicants from the craft grow licenses. They've jettisoned those carry costs. Now their carry costs are the lawsuit. And we had a hearing on that. A ruling's been entered. It will officially be entered. Like we, you know, we're still crafting the order that was entered on the record on Friday. And so now we're just drafting it because it was complex. Mm. But the craft grows in Illinois, there will not be 63 more. There will just be 13. That was a clear ruling. But so we have 13. That's it. And that means another 50, which means there might be another round of craft grow licensing in the future. I will 100% guarantee it will be issued by a lottery and it will not be merit-based after all this stuff.
Well, and I still question the lottery, right? Because the original KPI that were the first rounds, that was there's no transparency. The horrible thing about this,
the scoring was nuts. That's why the lawsuit resulted. And then the state professes error. Like, you know, hey, you know, oh my goodness, let's shout out to Keith Vance, who has been a member of the channel for 31 months. Thanks for sticking around with us for over 2 years, Keith. I hope that you found it informative. If you have any questions, don't forget to just leave them in the live chat or throw them in the actual comments to the video if you catch this later. But yeah, man. There will be another round of Illinois craft grow licenses, and I will guarantee you it's going to be a lottery.
A lottery, I question, though. I mean, as far as like the validity of it, and then it's going to lead to more lawsuits.
Like Missouri is a great example. Oh, let's talk about not necessarily Missouri because, you know, that's open right now, but we've already talked about Missouri last week. Yeah. And then they're doing license lotteries for a similar license to a craft grow. This is Maryland. They just did a license lottery for a similar license to a craft grow earlier, about a month ago. And then they changed the rules on Good Friday. And so like they just slipped in new rules on Good Friday. And so they've changed how you can do your app. Like, so some of the applications were like, you know, business ventures that were getting started, like 65-35 partnerships. And here's how we're going to get operational and all these things. But then Maryland just comes out and is like, nope, this is actually how you have to do it. And that's fine. And so like, you know, we do everything we can to comply with the laws in whatever state that we're applying, you know, laws, spirit of the law. And so we don't really do any contracts. And it's like, oh, you won? Okay, let's start getting open. And then otherwise, like you get into so many issues with if you've done it correctly.
Well, in this thing called the cannabis industry, the legal cannabis industry, what you faced and which I've seen is so many people face, you have to be able to switch gears. And I'm almost doing it, right? Like dropping the new rules on fucking on a Good Friday, right? Like maybe like there's a lot of like faithful people who don't pay attention to like the rules at that moment. So they rely on their lawyer to be like, hey, by the way, something happened that you might have to like buy some new stuff or comply with a new license or registration or permit or whatever the case is that that passed through for whatever reason. But in every
CLN is currently dealing with technical difficulties. A wild skunk has entered the studio. Please stand by.
That's nice. That was a good breath. Okay.
What?
But I was gonna say, like every state is different as far as the rules go. And the fair thing that we think as far as like, yay, I want to be in the marijuana, I want to own a store or I want to be a grower, right? I mean, like whatever your dream job is of the function of this thing, but you have to, unfortunately, the way it's worked out right now is a long game, right? Yeah. Like you have to.
Speaking of long games, New York, talk about the New York industry. Way out of winter in New York a bazillion years ago, 3 years ago, like the first card licenses. And then after that, it was just like, you know, I'm not doing work in New York. This is, the fix is in, I guess, is forget about it's Chinatown. And it gets worse in New York. And so there was a lawsuit that, and it was this kerfluffle that happened this past week. And so a cannabis a judge out of New York threw out many of the regulations. And then clarified the order by bringing many of the regulations back in, which was kind of interesting. And however, they did still keep some of the regulations out. One of them have to do with like commercial speech rights. I don't like the Associated Press. This is where I like to get down to the, now see the Associated Press just interlinks with it. We always have to get the original source. And so like there is an illegal opinion that came out and then some updates from it. But what happened was they threw out many of the regulations regarding commercial speech, and then they walked some of them back in. And so you're going to be able to see like Leafly's and other things like that moved back into New York, which is nice.
Damn.
But always original sources. Like, you know, sure. You should never rely on the media. The media is just trying to tell you something. And now a word from our sponsors.
But that's the thing about like when I was talking about the pivoting, right? Because they can make up a whole new packaging rule, and that'll cost you like another $10,000. Or like here in Washington State, they did
just throw out all the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck with that. And then what did they do in Washington State?
Well, as I was gonna say, a while ago, they made a rule where they couldn't have some sort of infused drinks or something. So like what one lady did was she did like the emulsion part, you know, to a powder.
Sold
that separate with the drink, as far as saying here, mix that with that. Now you got an infused drink. But people shouldn't have to do that, right? You should be able to have a vision or a thing and then hope either it wins because it's an awesome thing, you know, like I don't know, infused barbecue sauce. That's delicious.
No, there's some guy in Illinois that makes this wonderful, and he can't do it at a licensed one. So a lot of it's now Delta 9, but before it was Delta 8 ice cream. But like ice creams, you can't have a frozen infused product in our state. And so they all has to be like prepackaged and then like pre-dosed. All that type of stuff. And it has to be shelf stable. So like, you know, like a soda, not an ice cream. An ice cream you have to put in the fridge or in the freezer and keep it cold, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, that here in Washington State, when it was medical, I think most states, when it's medical, they see more innovation of the actual products. Like here, when it was medical, we actually had the same thing, infused ice cream. But when I knew the guy who was selling it, and he's like, look, I don't make the ice cream. I buy it from this. We have an ice cream shop here called Full Tilt, and he would buy it from them. They knew what he was going with it, and he would just put his mixture of RSO in it, and then that would be the edible, right? And that's, you know, not new. None of this shit is new that pops up. Sometimes I see a new thing, like that flicker lighter. That was pretty cool. Like when people talk about tech and innovation, sometimes it's a subtle little thing that is different, like maybe a dabblicator. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Donald Trump will decide on marijuana legalization as a Florida voter.
That's hysterical.
Thanks to a Supreme Court ruling, Donald, you can vote to make America great again by voting not for yourself this election day, but to legalize it in Florida.
And if you don't vote to
legalize it in Florida, Donald, I'm sure that you'll say that you did, especially if it's popular.
And he also needs to vote on women's rights, too. So that's going to be an interesting... We could just leave this picture up and then maybe just like absorb all the hate clicks and love clicks, you know, the worship clicks. That take
a lot of hate clicks, a lot of love clicks.
There it is, man.
This guy does not give it. What's your opinion of Donald Trump?
Well, now it's Florida, man.
Yeah. He's really into himself. You know, I don't like to think about him too much. Donald Trump doesn't usually elicit those types of responses from people. They're usually quite polarizing. He's terrible. Or he's great. I like his Bible.
I love my racist grandpa. But yeah, I mean, as Florida man, he gets to vote and decide on legalization and women's rights, you know.
Yeah, moving to Florida, so like my vote matters, because my vote in Illinois does not matter.
Are votes public?
That stuff's cooked. That book is cooked.
Are votes public?
Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Florida, Nevada, kind of Arizona. Let's see, where are the other swing states? Where are the only states that really matter? You know, the ones that are like 51-49, those types of states. Most states aren't like that, you know, like Wyoming. That isn't even close, Wyoming, you know. South Dakota, like the last Democrat left in 1978.
And again, as someone who used to travel America, man, I don't think it's as a mess as we think it is, but sometimes it is. Sometimes you can go through a pocket of Ohio. Like there should be no reason why you need to go to Idaho or Ohio, but
Well, Ohio is not. Ohio used to be more of a swing state, but it's kind of gotten more red. And so Ohio's like a 50, 54, 56, and then whatever that is, you know, 54, 46, something like that. But like 4 points is a lot. You know, Illinois is like 8 or 9 or bazillion. It's like, you know, Donald Trump will get like 35% of the vote, something like that.
He is a really, we call it polarizing, like, topic, right? Like, even, like, when we talk about it, I want to get all, like, uppity and, like, angry shit and feel bad that there's so many people that worship this guy or, like, have, like, bought stocks and shit. Like, but,
Hey, how is DJT trading these days? I wonder.
40. It dropped to 40 so far. I'm watching. I'm waiting. It's losing, like, $10 a fucking,
Truth Social. 1 million people can't be wrong.
Jesus. Hey, you know, even though, oh God, this is such a weird transition. So we got some good stuff in San Francisco.
Okay. Good stuff in San
Francisco. Something less toxic.
Lynched over there. First annual Weed Week to kick off this week in San Fran. So if you're in the Bay, did you know week will be weed this week?
Dude. And apparently, so they have like a 420 event that was canceled. So the city announced that the 420 annual event in Golden State Park would be canceled this year due to budget cuts. But the community had another idea. And I think this is great because the mayor, and it was kind of a cringe moment, but she's all like, one of her headlines was, "Don't give me no Bama weed." And I'm like, yeah, that was good. It's a lyric from rap. But, you know, it didn't flow very well. But it's awesome that the city... There's enough people that just consume cannabis, want to devote a week to it. And, you know, everything. What,
almost as much as I love how Trump Media and Technology Corp is down 12.5% on Friday. And for the week, it was down 33%. And then for the month, it's up less than 1%. This is what we call a pump and dump scheme. But, you know, the more important thing is if you in Bay, week of wheat is... I was hitting buttons and so was Will.
You're good.
And so, I don't know if they've ever celebrated a weed week in the Bay, but I think they have, like, or as San Francisco calls it, Monday. Because that's one of the epicenters of wheat. I just figure that if you live in the Bay, yeah, there's just a shitload of wheat events going on all the time. There was a wheat event yesterday. I couldn't go.
Really?
Well, I was watching the kiddo and I was busy and I was like running around trying to get my stuff done as well. And so I just, you know, I didn't want to take her to a weed event.
No, but I was just more impressed that you guys had weed events now. Like, we don't have any more. Like, since legalization, culture is gone.
Wait, don't they, they got no culture in Washington? Yeah. Like, you don't get together and smoke weed every day.
If I want to pay $500 for a dinner. We can retreat.
It's a little ridiculous. $500 for a dinner.
I mean, people do like shit like that, but I just want to go hang out and smoke a joint and listen to some music and go home. Like,
you don't have like, have you been to the Gorge or the George? I think it's called the Gorge, though. Isn't that so? If you go to that venue, people aren't bringing pre rolls and shit into that.
Oh no, people smoke and shit, but there's no like intentionally like, hey, this is a cannabis. We're gonna smoke weed only, and we're here because like the world's fucked up about this plant, misperception, and all that stuff. It's more
protestivals, kind of like hempstock.
Well, even no, it's hempfest, but you know, it's a seshes, right? Because a sesh would be a thing where random strangers would hang out and. Smoke for whatever reason. And I guess they still exist. COVID
really close that down. Random strangers don't like to get together and smoke anymore. You know, the Indians started it with their peace pipes. Boy, did that not end well for them.
Shit. I mean, I guess smoking has been colonized. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, bad joke. Bad joke. We got lots of shit to still talk about, though, man.
And so we do. Yeah, we do. That was the Florida one. You want to do North Carolina? You want to do the merger that failed or Hawaii?
Let's talk about the merger. That's a social significant one, man.
All right. Pulling up the merger. Normal and MPP tried to have a baby but didn't. And so Normal and MPP will not be merging to help, you know, with synergy That's this motion, synergy. Don't forget, you have to almost do that when you say synergy. And so the next time our viewers are watching, like, say synergy, they'll all. But because awesome, like a lot of save administrative expenses that they could have saved on, like rent or email lists and stuff.
It just seems to me people are getting, that's the thing about like an activism, right? It doesn't pay the bills. You know, this.
It's actually not capitalism.
Yeah. But I actually did a thing when as Miggy 420 got a name. And I think a lot of people, like, that's the weird barrier about cannabis, because you have people who are doing it for the health. Maybe they, you know, how many people have we met and talked to on the show that we're sick? They devote cannabis as their health and their healthiness, and now they're selling like fucking edibles or whatever they're doing. Right. Well,
I said that's right.
Yeah. No, the mic's doing the drifty in and out thing, and I think it's a software. I honestly do, because, but yeah, no, you know, as far as normal and MPP, both, you know, normal is the legacy one. What would they be fucking named when they combine? Is it going to be nope? What do you fucking get when you combine
normal policy project?
Ooh, that'd be a
NTP.
NTP. You know me.
Right. And then that they would then immediately call up. Who was that did that? OPP, Naughty by Nature. Yes. They would call up Naughty by Nature's agent and be like, have I got a licensing opportunity for you? And I don't think that would go anywhere. But
no doubt, you know,
those are the thought patterns of the commercial lawyer.
But anyway, and that's, go for it.
North Carolina's got news,
and
that's a good one. Not
necessarily real news, as far as I'm aware. But North Carolina's first medical marijuana dispensary will open on April 20th. It'll be the nation's, the region's first opportunity to purchase the drug, unless you just go to anywhere and you buy THCA hemp, legalized by nearly half of the American states while remaining illegal in North Carolina. Oh, that's how. For North Carolinians, it will have to be the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians.
Oh.
Yes.
It's going to be on a res. Dope.
It has to be on a res. They were going to have an extremely limited market, 10 licenses, similar to like what Ford is doing and stuff. But no, they didn't. And then not only that, they just have, like, that's where all the THC hemp really comes from, is from North Carolina. And so they just have a lot of hemp shops that are smoke shops. So,
well, you know, welcome to 2020, North Carolina, at least. You know, I mean, this is going to be good news for them.
It's the nations. It's the Cherokee Reservation. So it's the Indians, the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna be an interesting well, you know, the Sequoia, they own a Hard Rock Cafe, because just because they're in, when you do good business, you can, it can be beneficial to all, right? So that's, those guys are good investors. So hopefully the same thing happens here with this nation, the Cherokees, that they take that investment, right, and then, you know, get the returns that's deserved to them. So, you know,
right on.
Is it gonna be nation, do you have to be a Cherokee to own the store though, or that's probably nice push, you know.
Probably. Let's go over to New Mexico. They set a sales record. Remember, there are only 2 million adults in New Mexico, and they sold about $52.5 million of cannabis sales for adult use and medical in March.
It's a lot of weed to Texas.
A lot of weed probably in Texas, but then, you know, New Mexico is setting sales records, so good for them. Yeah. People like to buy weed legally, it appears.
What? Mm-hmm. Shocking.
That's right. Moving on, we have some news out of Hawaii. Hawaii is a quick story. We don't have to do very much with it. It has not passed. And so it did not make it out of the Senate. Hawaii will not be going legal. And they are now, the activists are urging action ahead of impending deadline for legalization bill. And then the Senate did not vote on it. This one's out of Monday, and by Friday they had updated. And so, yeah, it will not be legalized in Hawaii.
Things die in committees. Ask home, bro. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Got Massachusetts.
Let's do the Massachusetts, and then we'll wrap it up. Is that the Baker College?
No, it's the officials pardons thousands of white people with marijuana convictions. Unanimous vote on governor's clemency proposal.
Awesome.
Yeah, so another good news, you know, people are getting the records clean, so this should go through. It's voted 7-0. That's a good reform. But,
well, that's the thing, like, you know, getting the pardons and the clemencies and the expungements worked into the legislation can be a little tricky, depending on how the state keeps the records, because the vast majority of the arrests are at the local level. And then at the state level, and then at the federal level are the fewest. And so, like, how do you get rid of them at that local level effectively? Or how is that local level and the state level working in concert? We're going to do some more web pages and so some informational resources to try to point people in the right directions for expungements as a state legalizes it, because we haven't been focused enough on that over at CannabisIndustryLawyer.com. So look for more content on that.
Stay tuned. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to learn, man. Yeah, there's a lot more to cover, but it is Sunday. We do this live. We don't get real paid. So everybody should have a good day.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. You got to spend another hour with us talking about cannabis legalization news. We really appreciate all of our members and our subscribers and our viewers. And of course, the people that are listening to us in their cars. See you next week with more news from the cannabis industry.